You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, Ron, Joe Biden is barely in office, and already a number of his nominees for different positions in his new government have ethics problems. And a lot of what he did was to recycle Obama people from that administration and bring them back. And some of these people were people that, you know, have had major issues in the intervening years. So some of those people are like Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo, who had a complaint against her for renewing a $1 billion contract with no bid on it. And there are a number of other of the Biden people that are, just have issues, and whether they get approved or not, I don't know. But if they do, I think it's something that we need to be concerned about, because we'd like to have people without ethics issues in these important positions. And we also would like to have people that fit the positions. And the biggest one, or one of the biggest ones that I have a problem with that I want to talk with you about, is Mr. Becerra from California. So he is up for the position of Secretary of Health and Human Services, and he has no experience to do that job whatsoever. He's a lawyer. He has no experience in health or in any of the things to oversee that department.
Well, I think what happens here in administrations is that, management, who's going to be Biden, is looking at a couple of things. First of all, I think throughout the Biden administration, I get the feeling that he needs to punch tickets. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah,
okay. So he has to have a black person. He's got to have a Mexican person. He's got to have an Asian person. He has to have a transsexual. I mean, instead of looking for people that truly have skills, managerial skills and things like that, I think he's looking for something different. I think he's looking at inclusivity. And you know who did a great job of inclusivity was President Trump. The difference between what we see from the Biden people and the Trump people is the Trump people were very well qualified, for their jobs. Now, I will say this. It's always important to make sure that you pick a manager where the job that they are going to be managing is in their wheelhouse. Sometimes politicians go for what they believe are leadership skills and management skills. So you remember Becerra was attorney general for the state of California.
Yes, and he's prior an to attorney. That, he was 12 terms in the House of Representatives.
Absolutely. But so he's an attorney, so he should know something about the law. And whether or not we agree or disagree that Becerra was a good attorney general for the state of California, and I don't believe he was, and I'm a person that deals with the courts all the time, I think the subject is, or the topic or the issue is, whether or not Becerra is the right pick for that job. I'll give him managerial skills, but is that in his wheelhouse, and is he the best pick for that job? Is that the best we can do?
The problem that I have with Xavier Becerra is that he has extreme views. And for the job that he is being considered for in HHS, those views matter. So he is a huge proponent for Medicare for All. And he's going to be in the department that controls the largest budget next to the Pentagon that is in government.
Is that really true?
Yes.
Really? That's the largest budget?
The largest budget.
Interesting.
So he is, on record saying that he wants to eliminate private health insurance. He wants government-run plans. He's also very much, his advocacy has been for abortion and, you know, late partial term. Abortions, well, late term abortions.
That really bothers me.
All of those things. Yeah. And he was extremely favoring the abortion clinics in California when he was the attorney general there. And the people that were trying to have women consider other options, he would make them have signs in their offices. So he's so extremely biased to his positions. He's kind of one of those culture warriors that we talk about that really goes overboard. He's also very much open borders. And when you put him in charge of HHS, and he's somebody that has proposed decriminalizing illegal immigration, which would allow these people to receive government benefits such as Medicaid, then, you know, I mean, this is a really sensitive place to put a guy like this. This to me is absolutely, not only is he not qualified, he's dangerous to America's future. Because if you take somebody in that position that starts messing with Medicare and all of the people that have paid into it and that are on it, and, you know, they survive medically by being on Medicare, which does a good job for the people that are over 60, then, you know, this is really, really important to Americans. So it's the abortion issue, it's the illegal immigration issue, it's the Medicare and Medicaid issue, and it's the abortion issue as well. He also, as Attorney General, if you remember, Ron, he was the guy who prosecuted those people that were speaking with the woman from Planned Parenthood who was talking about selling embryonic stem cells. And, you know, they got caught at doing it. He didn't prosecute the Planned Parenthood. He prosecuted the people for finding it out.
I don't remember if it was Veritas, but yeah, you're exactly right. The things that bother me about Becerra is, and of course the abortion issues really does bother me, but the ones that also I'm really concerned about are his open border stance, you know, which is, to me, it's going to really harm this country. It's going to harm this country on many different levels. I mean, economically, the criminal justice system, I mean, healthcare, I mean, you name it. And he's really encouraged illegal aliens crossing our borders. And Health and Human Services, you know, think about that position at a time where we've got at least, 15,000 Hondurans coming up through Central America, breaching Guatemala, and then going to breach into Mexico. So that really bothers me because, you know, we're dealing with a huge COVID issue. Now we're going to have this huge influx of illegal aliens that have not been medically vetted, and they are going to go through that border like poop through a goose, even with our border wall. The coyotes will, you know, take them every single which way that they can get them into this country. And don't forget that Biden just signed an executive order to stop deportation for 100 days. So what does that tell the people? How is that communicated to the illegal aliens from different nations?
It's like, leave now. Let's get over the border.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to correct something that I said. HHS has the largest budget in the federal government, even larger than the Pentagon.
Wow.
So here's a guy who has no record of handling money, especially money like this, and how he has conducted himself in California as the Attorney General, which in so many people's opinion, including I think ours, but also so many people in California, that they don't think that he conducted himself in a fair and impartial way as an Attorney General. He was very, very partial, and he has a zeal for COVID lockdowns, radical politics, and abuses of power. And I think he is absolutely the wrong pick for America. And I hope that they do not approve him.
Well, Linda, let's talk about some of the things that President Biden has done in his first day of office. So first of all, he stopped all building on the border wall, number one.
Yes.
Number two, he told ICE and Department of Homeland Security and Border Patrol that deportations. That's right.
Could happen for illegals.
For 100 days. And then he's stopped the permit for the Keystone Pipeline.
Yes.
Which is really going to harm us. And he's already done an executive order dealing with methane gas and fossil fuels.
Yes.
All right. Because he owes allegiance to the Green New Deal. And I mean, just look at some of those things. Okay. So we come from Texas and we can remember what happened to Texas the last time we went through this in the Obama administration, yes. And especially our large oil cities. And I would say, you know, the forefront where the headquarters of oil is and energy is in Texas, is in Houston. And look how it decimated that city. And look at the hundreds of thousands of jobs that these executive orders are going to impact. And look at what it does to the United States of America with regards to, first of all, being a leader in energy production. Now we're going back to what? Are we going to look for oil from our enemies in Venezuela? I mean, what are we going to do?
Well, President Trump made us energy independent, and now we're going backwards. And I take this really personally because most of the things that you mentioned are a direct assault on Texas and Texans. And so let's take the oil. And like you say, we can all remember what happened in Texas. I mean, it went from boom town to nothing town for a while, and really hurt the property values. And so many people were out of jobs. People that this is their industry in Texas.
Yeah, and fortunes were lost.
Yes. And they live and breathe it. And the people, and it's not just in Houston, the people work in the oil fields that are all over Texas, and they make good money at it, and they support their families at it. And they work hard and they work long days, and they're gone for, you know, a week or weeks at a time. And when it came back under President Trump, I mean, there was just rejoicing. These families that were losing their homes, and, you know, mothers who had been staying home with their kids had to leave and try to help support the family. I mean, this is devastating to people.
You know, I think people don't look concertedly enough at these issues. You know, they forget about the infrastructure, they forget about the support systems, the businesses, the support businesses,
sure,
the infrastructure, the support businesses, the support economies, that all, it's a symbiotic relationship with oil. So when you are, and you and I have seen it with pipelines in Texas, you and I have seen the pipeline that's going through Texas right now, and the thousands of jobs that it creates. And as they move the pipeline across the state, how the small communities are suddenly infused with significant amounts of revenue, right? So let's take a small town like Ozona, Texas, which is, you know, not too far from where we live. It's a couple hours away from where we live. And we went through there with our RV in traveling. And here's a town that was a boom town before in the 20s and the 30s and then in the 40s. And then it just sort of died off, and you can see it. But now with the pipeline having gone through Ozona, and we stopped there, everybody that had a house was renting. Everybody that had a lot or a backyard was renting to a worker that had a fifth wheel, that had an RV, had a trailer, a wagon. I mean, you name it. The restaurants were drying up were booming with business. And that community just had a spark placed in it. And everybody was making money, and that community, which had been decimated, was being revived.
Yes, and as those workers move to the next place, that place becomes, you know, has a boom. And just this summer, when we wanted to go in our RV to some of the towns not too far away that were on the river, you know, beautiful little towns, we could not even find an RV spot, not because of just travelers, but because of pipeline workers who take all of those spots. So, and it is, like you say, it's all the ancillary businesses there. It's the grocery stores. It's the, probably the bars, the restaurants,
the hardware stores,
sure, the gas stations. Yes, everybody, absolutely. Every business there prospers.
And there's
Biden, in one swipe of his pen, took all of these people's livelihood away.
Well, right, and like I was saying, there are hundreds of towns and cities just like Ozona, and now what are they going to do?
Because they're going to dry up.
Well, you know, and so what is the rhetoric that comes out of the new administration? And that is, well, we're going to make hundreds of thousands of new jobs. Yes, we're going to get rid of fossil fuels, and, you know, we're going to get rid of, you know, we're going to cut down on natural gas and fracking and methane, and we're going to lose those jobs, but we're going to create hundreds of thousands of other jobs. People need to remember that even in a well-functioning administration, it takes years to do that. So with the stroke of a pen, like you say, Linda, overnight, basically, people are out of work. But yet, to re-engage employment and to move from one wheelhouse into another, and we're talking about wind, you know, what were they saying? We're going to get rid of fossil fuel energy, but we're going to wind energy, and, you know, we're going to go to solar. Well, first of all, we don't produce any solar power. I mean, solar cells or any of that. All of that stuff comes from China.
Yeah, and that's who we really want to give business. Let's not give it to Texas. Let's give it to China.
Right. And California and Texas and other states have got those big wind turbines. Yes. You know, as we've been traveling, of course, Texas, and we're on the Texas Gulf Coast right now, where there's wind, you know, we see those things. But that is not enough to sustain cities, large major cities. You can't do it all on wind and solar energy. And again, it takes years to retool so that you have a different economy and a different employment thing. Hey, look, I want to talk more about this, but let's grab that first cup of coffee.
My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
thank you for that hot coffee. You know, I want to talk more about this because the things that you mentioned, like I said, they affect Texas, which affects people like us, and it affects where we live. And when you take your pen and you make these decisions, like the pipeline, like fossil fuels, it's not just Texas. Obviously, we're talking, you know, fracking in Pennsylvania and some of these other states, that Oklahoma, lots of people will be affected. And what we seem to be forgetting, Ron, is that we are in this whole pandemic where people are already seriously, seriously underwater from having to stay home from the pandemic. And now you're going to take their job away, which is probably the only piece of sanity that these people have left, not to mention income. And I just think that you don't even think, or they didn't even think about the consequences to real people, real Americans. They thought about their global warming initiative, which to me is just, but what, there's one more thing that affects Texas that he did on day one. So we have oil, we have
the pipeline,
immigration, the immigration one. We are the people who are going to be having these people pour over our borders with diseases, with drugs, with no skills. And where do they land? They land in either Southern California or in Texas.
You know, people that are maybe Democrats or on the progressive left side would take a listen to the comments that you and I are talking about, and they would push them off as being xenophobic. Right? You know, anti-immigration, anti-minority, anti-this, anti-that. That's not at all where we're coming from. Because what's happening with the United States and this illegal immigration push is that we, as a country, in order to move forward, we have to have educated and job-skilled people. That's what we need. Okay, we don't need people that will just work in the fields, wash our cars, do our lawns, do our laundry, you know, these very low wage and low skilled jobs. We don't need that. That's not what's going to move the United States of America forward. We need people in industry. We need people with technical backgrounds. We need people with medical backgrounds, engineering backgrounds. We need the applied sciences. Those are the people that, if the United States of America is truly going to move forward as a progressive nation, not politically progressive, but as a progressive first world nation, we have to have people that have the skills that can build. And we have relied too long on other nations building things for us. Would you not agree?
I absolutely would agree. And some of the things that he signed on his first day are about regulation, and those types of things are going to, again, inhibit manufacturing, which President Trump worked so hard to bring back to America.
Exactly. You know, the United States doesn't build very much of anything.
No, but we were starting to again.
Yes, I agree with
you. So these things that he did on his first day, I don't think were good things. And I want to go back to what you said about, you know, xenophobia and people coming over the border. I am all for immigration. I want it to be legal, and I want it to be done properly.
And I want it to be vetted.
Yes.
But I want people to come to this nation from all over the world, but bring something to put on the table.
Yeah, not just take from us, but give to us.
You know,
and have a Becerra type of person who wants to let them all come over the border and then wants to give them health care, who do you think is paying for that? Is that xenophobic, or is that just common sense that we have to think about how many people can people pay for? It's like, Ron, it's like at our house. Okay, if we have four kids in our house, and then they add another, you know, 3,000 and say, well, here, you got to support those too. We can't do that. And that's what they're doing to America.
And, you know, a couple of years ago, and I think when we were dealing with Syrians coming into the United States, you know, tons and tons of Syrians coming into the United States, and they had to get sponsored. And I read a financial survey or a study that said for each one of those people that come into the United States, it costs the American taxpayer $70,000 a year. $70,000 a year for each one of those people. And what happens when you bring people that have no language skills and no job skills, and you bring them into the United States of America, and they do nothing to assimilate to become American citizens? They really don't learn our language. Our culture is foreign to them. They have their own culture. It just makes assimilation so much more difficult and then so much more costly. And what it does for the person is it creates a false sense of, I don't know, of wealth, or, you know, hey, you're gonna make money. People are gonna take care of you. You're gonna have a job. You know what I'm talking about?
And
then that doesn't
people.
Happen.
Right.
It doesn't happen.
Right.
It happens for some people, but it doesn't happen for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that come in with no education, no job skills, nothing to bring to the table. And I believe it causes dissension. And with certain peoples, it can cause radicalization. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, we've got the enemy not only at our door, but into our house.
But this is all about one thing, and it's votes. And that they think that bringing all these people over and legalizing them will get them more votes so that they can continue to stay in power. This is not about doing what's right for the American people. It is against our laws to come into our country illegally. Yet the person at the head of our country is allowing that to happen. So how do you even reconcile that? It is against our laws.
Well, you know, Linda, I mean, you said it already. You know, Biden's talking about a pathway to citizenship, the DACA kids. And then, you know, they're talking about 11 million illegal aliens in this country and a pathway to citizenship. I've told you before, it's more like 25 million, maybe even more than that, because it's so hard to get a census, you know, an accurate census. But again, you know, I, as a son of immigrants, first generation American, I think you're second generation Dutch. And we're not saying here that we don't want to welcome people from other countries. That's not what we're saying at all. We want to welcome people from other countries that bring something to the table, that bring education, that bring job skills, that are bonded, that are vetted, that we don't have to pay for, because the United States of America did not have to pay for my parents, and they did not have to pay for yours. And
no,
both of our
in
parents.
In fact, our parents contributed to the country.
Oh, there is no doubt about
it. And by the way, I am first generation. My mother was born in Holland.
Oh, well, so okay, excellent.
There you go.
Yeah.
But
anyway, so that's just what we're trying to say here.
Yes. The other things that he did, you know, going back and joining the Paris Climate Accord, which to me is just a hole that we throw money into, and it means nothing. And nobody has proven to me that we even have this whole global warming issue that is man-made. I don't disagree that climate is changing in places, and it will over the life of this earth.
But, you know, I want to say this. The United States of America is in the forefront of all the nations in the world. Talk about big nations. The United States of America is in the forefront of countries that have been consistently working and solving their pollution problems. I don't care if it's air pollution, if it's water pollution, you know, whatever it is, ground pollution, we are in the forefront. But yet we are going to have to pay for the people like in India, in China, and Brazil and these countries that are some of the very worst polluters in the entire world. And we're going to have to suck important money, and we are going to be forced through regulations, through harmful, unnecessary regulations, we are going to be harmed. And the people like China, who are trying to overtake the United States and become a world power, are going to get a buy, because ultimately these United Nations type organizations are inherently corrupt. And we are all going to suffer for that. We already talked about the pipelines and all of this stuff. People get that. But we are all going to suffer by joining again into this Paris Peace Climate Accord when we don't need to do that. They should actually be following our example.
Yep. And the other thing that he did was went back to the World Health Organization and rehooked up with them. And
talk about corruption.
Yeah, Fauci's over there again. Fauci's saying how he feels much less pressure working under Biden after one day than he did under Trump, because maybe Trump was holding his feet to the fire to actually do something.
Well, and Fauci's a globalist, okay?
Yes, he's a globalist.
And this is all part of that one world, you know, one order globalist philosophy that I think is extremely dangerous for America to get involved in. You know, let me say something. You know, you're talking about, unless you want to keep talking about climate, because I have something else I want to talk about. I want to talk about another stroke of the pen, and he created $15 an hour as the federal minimum wage.
Well, that is going to be a job killer for people. It's going to be a business loser for people. People will lose their businesses. And to do that at this time, again, what are you thinking to do that to all these restaurants who have been severely harmed by COVID, and now you want to double their payroll? I mean, you have just put so many businesses out of work. I can't even believe it. People's hopes and dreams, I mean, people's livelihoods and raising their children and their car payment and their house payment, you just took it all away from them.
You know,
and
what,
this is a guy who wants to unite the country.
You know, Linda, help me with this, because of the two of us, you're far more the astute business person than I am. But, you know, people are now applying for their PPP money, right? They're going through that process of PPP. And so let's just say, and you've been working on some of that, right? So let's just say that you finished all of your PPP application and you finished it day before yesterday. But then when Biden took office, he, with the stroke of a pen, doubled the minimum wage. So how does that affect all of the people that have been putting in for PPP money? And then all of a sudden, you know, like restaurants and things like that, their costs are going to be doubled. What does that do?
Well, I can tell you that. But before I do, I have not read the order on that. And I don't know if it ramps up. I don't assume that it's tomorrow you're paying $15 an hour. I don't know. I haven't read it. But regardless, the PPP money is based on your last year's payroll times 2.5 if you are a restaurant. I think it's times 3.5. So it doesn't matter if they doubled it, you're still out, because you only get money based on what you were paying at the time.
Yeah, but now you're going to pay twice as much.
Well, if that's the case, I haven't read it to see if it goes into effect on a ramp up kind of a thing where it's an extra dollar here and then another dollar and until you get to 15, I don't know. So there's so many executive orders coming out and so much to be informed about, but there's one more. Go ahead.
I wanted to say one thing, because, you know, again, you know, Biden's whole thing was, you know, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. And the middle class is vanishing in the United States of America. We're quickly, and you see this in California, for God's sakes, it's just a two-tiered society. The middle class is moving out of California. They're leaving in droves. And so you've got the rich, and then you got the poor, you got the very poor. And so just really quickly, I want to run this past you as a business person. This really does. If we go to the $15 minimum wage, that means that all the service industry is going to be $15 an hour, right? And then people working at Walmart and, you know, the discount stores making $15 an hour instead of $7.50, whatever. That is going to drive the costs of everything up.
Absolutely.
Is it not?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so you're already paying. I mean, you don't remember how we used to get a hamburger for, you know, like $3-4 bucks?
And no, now
you
I get remember a hamburger 19
and it's like
cents.
$8.50, yeah. $10 bucks.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but the rich people can afford that. Okay, they can afford, okay, it's $10, right? But for the people that are the poorer people, not the middle class, but the lower class, between the poor and the middle class, that strata that are you know, working 2-3 jobs are having a hard time making it every single week. That is going to be devastating to them, don't you think?
Well, it's going to be devastating to everybody. So many things. And I just have to focus on restaurants because that's the biggest one that's on my mind right now that got so hurt with the shutdowns and the lockdowns. And now you're going to double what they have to pay people. And then they're going to have to raise their prices. So a lot of people will no longer be able to go to their restaurants, but they also are going to have to lay people off because they're not going to be able to afford that. And don't forget, on top of all those things, they've got to pay their health insurance and all those things. And you pay your payroll taxes based on what their income is. So it's more than that. It comes out more than that.
And you've got to commute to your job. If you have a job, you've got to commute to your job. Now they're stopping the pipelines. Now they're screwing with the fossil fuels and the gas prices. Right now we're paying $1.99 a gallon to $2.30, depending on where you live in the state of Texas. So, you know, just the other day we paid $1.95 a gallon at Walmart. And what do you think that's going to do to the gas prices? And when you live in California, where it's already costs a lot of money to live there, and you're also commuting long distances to work, what do you think that's going to do to that lower class, you know, that strata between middle class and people that are on total government subsidized housing?
Ron, everything that Joe Biden signed in his first and second day of office, I think is completely the wrong direction for the American people. And it's very bothersome. And you know what? I need to get you a cup of coffee because I see you're down on your coffee there. And I have one more thing to talk about.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Okay, well, now that we're all coffeeed up again, one more thing that Joe Biden signed on his first or second day of office was men, biological males, can compete in sports with females. So if they are trying to be a woman or they feel like they're a woman or whatever the situation is that they have to abide by, they can now, biological males, not that have fully transformed into females or anything, but biological males can compete on women's teams. And this is a huge blow to women. I can't imagine how many women are crushed right now, having worked so many years to be at the top of their sport, only to now have men be able to come in and compete against them. That's just devastating and unfair.
Well, you know, many, many years ago, before I was a law enforcement officer and I was a teacher, remember I told you I used to coach men and women's track. And I really enjoyed working with the women. They worked so hard. We had a great track and field team of women. And as an athlete, former athlete myself, I just know how difficult it is to work every day, every single day. I mean, you rarely take a day off. You're working all the time. You work early in the morning and, you know, after school and into the evening. And then, you know, you're doing competition on the weekends and stuff. And you pour your heart and soul in it. And these women are looking for athletic scholarships. And you know, the best of the best are going to run internationally. They're going to run for the United States of America. And that's a career move for them. And it's just so devastating for women that are true biological women to have to put up with this. And, you know, when they did Title IX and all this other stuff, which, you know, sort of leveled the playing field between men and women's sports and created a sense of equity as far as financial support and scholarships and, you know, things like that. I don't think anybody ever imagined that we would be where we are today. We are completely off the tracks here, and we have done such a disservice to our poor women. I don't know what to tell young girls now. If I was a track coach now and this was happening to my track and field team, I do not know what I would tell my women. I would have nothing to tell them to assuage them.
No, I agree. And I just think that these things that were signed, that big stack that was sitting there as soon as the inauguration was over for him to sign, I can't imagine he read them or thought about them or the consequences of them. Everybody seems to have their own little, you know, their thing that they want to get done. So somebody wanted to get that done. And so they did whatever they needed to do to get that across his desk. I just don't think that these were thought out. And I don't think that a one of them that I've seen signed, not a one of them can I say, well, that was a good thing. Not one. So that's pretty heartbreaking to me.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about transparency. Now, if you remember back in the Obama-Biden administration, that was the least transparent presidential administration that I think you and I have experienced in our lifetime. And what a breath of fresh air for Donald J. Trump to come in with his administration and hold, I mean, press conference after press conference after press conference, putting everybody up front, telling everybody what his administration was doing, what they were accomplishing, what they intended to do, answering all questions. And I thought he went far and beyond. I'd be honest with you. I would not have talked as much would it have been me. And then Biden and the mainstream media chiding the Trump administration for their lack of transparency, which I found ridiculous and amazing. And now, so President Biden has come into office, and in his very first press conferences, we see a problem with the lack of transparency with his press secretary. You know, recently, and by the way, these are, you know, the Associated Press has been a fan of Joe Biden's. They are not the enemy. You know, they're not Fox News. They're not One America News. They're not the Blaze. You know, they're not the Daily Wire.
What a difference in the press room.
Okay.
What a difference. Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at this. And so this poor guy from the Associated Press asked her a couple of questions, right? First of all, he asked the press secretary, and I can't pronounce her name, but anyway.
Psaki.
He asked her, you know, a couple of questions. So how does President Biden feel about, you know, the second impeachment of Donald Trump? No response whatsoever. Went roundabout it. Finally ended up saying, well, you know, that's, you know, basically not one of our talking points today. Not going to be able to discuss that with you. So He went with the next question. And the next question was, so what's going on with the filibuster? And tell us what some of his next legislative agenda is going to be moving forward after he had this day of, you know, signing all the stuff that you and I have spent the evening talking about, and could not get a cogent answer from her. Then Joe Biden himself is at the press conference, and he's asked by an Associated Press reporter about, you know, you said that you were going to get 100 million Americans inoculated. And so how's that proceeding? I mean, don't you think that that's a logical question? Didn't they ask President Trump that same question time and time and time again? And they all got an answer. Do you know what the answer that Joe Biden, he was kind of snippety with this guy. And he said, sorry, I got to get a t-shirt that says this. Come on, man.
Oh, you do that well.
You know, give me a break. Come on, man. You know,
like, can you imagine Trump saying that? On. Give me a break. They would never give him a break.
Just answer the question. You know, that's all he's asking for. He's a friend of yours, Joe. He's not trying to put you on the spot like they always did with President Trump. Anyway, I'm just saying to our listeners, friends, and followers, if you thought the Obama and Biden administration was not that transparent, just hold on to your seats and look at this one. I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. All right, let me just be prophetic for a minute. They are going to do, instead of everybody being in the press room, they are just going to pick and choose which reporters that are friendly reporters are going to be in there. And I'm telling you what, I think we're going to see virtual press conferences in the future. We may not even have a press corps anymore. You know, the concept of the press corps where they meet in the large room.
I think it'll be the basement.
I know you're being funny, but I think where this may go into the future, if they keep asking and pressing questions like this, is you may just have a virtual press conference where people have to write in their questions ahead of time, and then they answer what they want, and then they just leave. And I thought it was very interesting when he'd had it with that guy, and he lost his temper. He was snippety with that guy, and then he just got up and walked off. You never saw President Trump do that, okay, of that nature. He would still, you know, he would get up, tell people that he was going to leave, but he took so many more questions than Biden did. I'm just saying.
It's going to be all flowers and roses and things for the press with this president.
I want to see how long the honeymoon lasts.
Yeah, you can already see it on all of the CNNs, MSNBCs. It's ridiculous. Just all of a sudden, everything is coming up roses. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about our trip. We decided during election time, or during this whole time that we have had in our country between the few weeks before the inauguration, we decided that we needed a break. And you and I are really good about taking our breaks when we need them. And they're, you know, they refresh your life for sure. So we were trying to decide, what can we do? Where can we go? We want to be safe. So we don't want to be in hotels and places where, you know, we have more of a chance of being exposed to COVID. And we wanted to kind of be on our own. But where do you do that? Well, you do that in your own RV. And that is exactly what we did, is we went in our RV, took our Desi dog, and our friends came along in their RV. And we decided to start at one end of the southern border of Texas, which was the west end, which is near Brownsville, which actually is where SpaceX is on South Padre Island.
And actually where we camped, it was just a couple, probably think about what, about 3-4 miles away, because we could clearly see the building complex of SpaceX. And on the day before they shot up, one of their rockets.
Yep, they did a test rocket, and it was really interesting. And I don't actually think we were more than maybe a mile and a half. It was pretty close. But anyway, so we went down to South Padre Island and spent a few days at the beach there. Now, mind you, it's winter. It was windy and it was cold. And that part of it was not so much fun. But, you know, we enjoyed, and the Desi dog really enjoyed the beaches. And
first time on the beach.
Yeah.
Right? First time seeing the ocean.
Yep.
Or the Gulf. And first time on the beach. First time experiencing salt water.
Yes. And sand. And,
and
yeah.
sand and running around.
And she loved it.
Yeah.
And then we moved on to Port Aransas, which is absolutely a wonderful place to visit. And the beaches there are just amazing. They're huge. They're wide and they're flat, and you can drive on them, and the water is very flat. So not big waves. So, you know, the kids can go in the water, and you got to kind of watch out for jellyfish, as we saw quite a few of those when we were there, but really, really enjoyed that adventure there. And the small RV place that we stayed was right on the beach, and that was really
Yeah, we could just walk about 100 yards to the beach, and there we were. And boy, I tell you what, we got a lot, you know, because we're doing our weight loss program, and we're, you know, walking long distances. And boy, we were putting in the miles out there, because the beaches there are so nice. I mean, you just go on forever.
Yeah, so that was fun. And then we went on to Rockport. And Rockport is a beautiful little city, again, very close to Port Aransas, but different. And so we went there, and that's more tidal waters. It's
estuaries, yeah, back bays.
It's not beach.
Right.
Not beach. But I had a wonderful time there. And
it's interesting from place to place to place mm-hmm. on the coast. The architecture is so different. Huh?
Well, it's very different. And the topography is all along the coast is very, very flat, very flat.
Yeah.
So
not like where we're from, yeah, in the Texas hill country. We have hills.
Kind of scrubby, but really interesting little towns to drive through. Texas has the most interesting towns all through Texas anyway. And there's so many of these little, you know, close to the border towns, and there's a lot of Mexican people, a lot of Mexican restaurants, and we have stopped in some hole in the walls that you think you'd never walk into that have had the very best food. And we've had a wonderful time with that. But for the most part, we make our own food in the RVs and do a great job of that. So we can't complain about not eating well in the RV. And then we went on to Galveston Island, which neither of us had ever really, well, I had visited it in my youth one time, but I don't remember much. But wow, that was a surprise.
And we've been staying at Jamaica Bay, and then driving in with the Jeep into the town of Galveston, right? Is it the whole town? It's not
yeah,
the whole
that's
town.
Galveston. It?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's so interesting. Having never been to Galveston before, seeing the seawall and, you know, seeing the resort areas, but then going into the town and seeing the architecture, the historic Victorian buildings,
a lot of history there.
The
lot
downtown, of history. And I'll tell you what, we've had some amazing meals here, and I can hardly wait to come back in the spring to see what this is about, because truth be told, the weather's been terrible.
Okay? Yeah, we were pretty foggy, in.
Foggy, drizzly, raining, you know, the whole ball of wax.
But for people who want to get away and have an adventure, I mean, this turned out to be a great adventure for us, because it was something that we'd never done, all of the places that we'd never seen. And it was very simple to do. And you just drive right along the coast of Texas, and you can go to so many different beaches and so many different little places that are really, really interesting. Some great seafood, some great architecture, like you say, a lot of history. And I just have enjoyed it thoroughly. We are basically done with this trip and back to work, but it has been worth every minute.
You know, and we've been blessed by having such good traveling companions, and they have their dog too. So, you know, the four of us get together and the two dogs get together, and it's just been a wonderful time and a real blessing. Hey, let's tell people how they can listen to Dr. Ron and Linda on talking while married?
Well, just go to AmericaOutloud.com and you can listen live, and you can see every day what shows are going to be playing on America Out Loud, including ours, every night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you miss our show, you can catch it on any of the podcasts, and you can really get a lot of those podcast apps right there on America Out Loud to make your life a little bit easier. You don't need to do anything else. It's a one-stop shop, and go there. And in a time like this, Ron, where life is changing for so many of us, new administration, new rules, America Out Loud is a great place to visit and get some truth and get some information from people that are in the know, that really can not have the same bias that you hear on the news media.
Yeah, you know, we have a really good plethora of very capable, very complicated, you know, people with some wonderful skills. And also, don't forget that besides the podcasts and radio programs, we have wonderful articles. There's a lot of great writers that write for America Out Loud. Linda Martinelli writes some wonderful articles. I've got an article out presently called The Rise of Neo-Socialism in the United States that's getting a lot of play. And then also, don't forget about the America Out Loud bookstore, where you can get all sorts of books from the people that are the talk show hosts and people that appear frequently on America Out Loud. I've got three books in the bookstore: The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. I've got my new Wade Justice Texas Ranger series on the bookstore, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. And there's so many other ones. I mean, it's just a wonderful compilation of experts and talkers. And we hope that you will join us Monday through Friday, 8 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
There you go. On America.
We'll see you on the radio.
We'll see you on the radio.